tonight we'll be in Luke chapter 7 tonight. Luke chapter 7. Got old Jeremy. We appreciate it, Jeremy, up there. Nobody don't ever give you no praise for what you're doing. Nobody don't ever see you, but you make us all thankful that you're up there. We got you running back to like a fiddler crab going back to up there by yourself, running all that machine equipment up there. We appreciate you. Luke chapter 7 tonight. Reading these verses of scriptures, and I just thought about the testimony. You ever give your testimony of what the Lord done for you? You ever remember back when you were saved? You ever give a testimony of how that you got saved? You ever sit up and give your testimony? A lot of people like to. They just kind of can't find the words and bashful. I got to think about this verse of scriptures, 11 through 16. And really, this is a testimony of every one of us is saved tonight. I hope everybody's saved here tonight. If you're not saved here tonight, you can before you leave here. But this is kind of a testimony. I got to read this. Stop the funeral. I just thank the Lord each morning, and as I do, the first thing I do is go to my study and read a verse of Scripture and have me a daily devotion, and I start off with a list of things, and many times I've told you, the first thing I start off with is thanking the Lord for salvation and different things that comes to my mind about salvation, you know, forgiveness and, you know, for peace and everything that goes with salvation. When I was saved, I didn't realize a whole lot about salvation. I just knew that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved, and that's all you need to know. But the Lord keeps adding blessings and lets you understand more and more. We never will understand at all about the aspect of salvation, but it's kind of like a testimony to read these verses of Scripture here tonight that what the Lord has done for us. It's to stop the funeral, because each one of us, as we hear we say tonight, we was on a collision course with the Lord. We was in a funeral position, not really physically, but spiritually was dead, according to the Bible. And what the Bible said, we was all dead. And we find in these verses of Scriptures, there was a funeral procession going out the city of Nain. And then also there was another procession led by the Lord of Majesty. And the Lord and both of them, they met together. And that's exactly what happened to you and me. We was in a funeral procession because we was dead and trespassing in sin, was we not? And the Lord, we was going in one direction, and the Lord was going in the other direction, and we met head on, every one of us. And what he done here in these verses of Scripture, he done for every one of us. What he done physically here in these verses of Scripture, he done spiritually for us. He stopped the funeral because we was dead. And this young man come back to life. And I tell you, I came to life. Not back to life because I was dead, but I come to life. And you too tonight, every one of us, if you're saved. Jesus stopped the funeral. And thank him for that I was dead. Now I don't ever have to worry about dying. Oh yeah, physically, but I'm talking about spiritually because we are all spiritually dead. But listen to these verses of Scripture. See if they don't fit you as a testimony of what Christ done for us in saving us. This is something that happened to a man or a young boy that brought back to life for every one of us. It says there in verse 11, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. A whole possession of people went with Jesus Christ. Now when he came high to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carrying out the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her, another group of people of possession. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, and that's the casket, and they that bore him stood up still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. Again, let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for these verses of Scriptures. We thank you for the life that we have in these verses of this hour, for the Word of God, for the Spirit of God. We're just so thankful that the people here this night was wanting to come. And we thank you, Lord, that you blessed us, that we was able to come tonight. And Father, we just pray that you might extend the blessings, Lord, that other people, Lord, want to come on Wednesday night and Sunday, and they'll want to worship you and serve you, Father, the great God that you are. Father, help us to be the people that you'd have us to be. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have, that we might be able to come and worship a true and a living Savior. And Father, you made a place for us here at this church, and we just thank you, Lord, for the blessings of each and every one of us, and so many on our prayer list, and Father, in the hospital, and also in the prayer box, on our hearts, on our minds, our family, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're able to meet all of our needs, the unspoken requests we have this hour. Father, help us, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for being the great Jesus, for loving us, for the mercy that we have each day, because you just roll in oceans of mercy upon us each day. So we want to thank you, Lord, and help us to just understand, Father, what it really means to be alive in Christ Jesus. So we thank you this day and all these blessings we ask in the holy and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As we said, this possession, there's two of them moving towards one another in verse 11 and also in verse 12. One possession is going out of the city and another possession is coming into the city, and they're on a collision course. They're heading to a collision course. And you know, you had a collision course with Jesus Christ whenever you was dead. It's like the old guy was interviewed for a job at a train terminal, like air traffic control, where they controlled the train traffic. And they was interviewing him. They asked him a question. He said, suppose you was working here at this terminal now, and there was a train coming from the east doing 75 miles an hour, and one coming from the west doing 75 miles an hour. What would you do? He said, I'd go call Bubba. He said, you'd call Bubba. Why would you call Bubba? He said, he's my best friend. He ain't never seen such a wreck we fixing to have around here. So it's kind of like this. We're on a collision course. We're on a collision course, and these collision courses in the scripture here, this possession, one was led, as you know, by the pale horse of death that you and I was on at one time. But other was led by the master over death, that Jesus Christ stopped my funeral possession. But then we have one which it was on the way to the grave. And then we had another possession was on the way to glory. We had one, the king of terrors, old death. Then the other was the king of kings and lord of lords and prince of peace. And they were on a collision course. And they met, as you know of it, each and every one of us. All of us have encountered a life that we live now. We know that we are saved. Death is confrontation. You know that we come in contact with the living Savior. Jesus done a lot of miracles while he's walking here on this earth. And the greatest miracle that Jesus performed when he was in his body was bringing life back to the dead. And physically, and he's able to do the same thing spiritually to us this hour, to anybody that come in Jesus Christ. But this possession of misery, now think about this now, a funeral possession. You see a funeral possession on the road, you always think about the tears and the sorrow that someone's having on this funeral possession. But this funeral possession is a possession of misery. It's in the process. In Jesus' day, it was a little bit different than what we have a funeral possession in our day. And most of the time, they would go out through the streets and to the graveyard there, and it would be maybe a hole in a cave. But the women usually would lead the way in the history of the Jew and the way they done their funeral possession. The women would lead the way, and they would be crying and with great grief, and they express it outward as they was going through the streets on the march to the graveyard or the cemetery, and the women would lead the way, and then there'd be some professional mourners that would be playing instruments, and they would be playing sad tunes, as you know, sad songs as we sometimes sing ourselves. And then the bier here, or the coffin that was said in these verses of scripture, coffin, it was not like a coffin we have today. Closed up where you couldn't see anybody. It was just maybe a board, maybe a little short sides on it that you might be able to see the body as it passed by, or maybe just a wicker basket with short sides on that you could see the body, and the body be wrapped in linen clothes, and only the face would be exposed that you could see the dead corpse that had come by. Then after the mourners, then we'd have the end of the mother. The ones that are deceased would always be coming up from the end. The mother would be bringing up the end of the possession. Well, thinks she'd also been in this possession before, but she sees her son now that he's dead, and she could probably remember now whenever her son was alive, and not long ago she had the cradle of joy as her son was born in this world, but now she's in the cradle there of grief. That he sees her little son has passed away at a young age. We don't know how old he was. A possession of misery. This little boy, the death of this boy. But you see, we know that death is inedible. We're going to go die. We know that, don't we? And Hebrews says 9:27, it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. This, you have an appointment with death. You know, Woody Allen said he don't want to be around when it comes time for him to die. But I got news for Woody Allen. We're all going to be around when it comes time for us to die. And if Jesus Christ don't tarry, if he comes back, we may not see death. We know it. But if he tarries, we're all going to go experience physical death. We know that. All of us, you know, are beating that sad funeral march to the word of death and also to the grave. We're on that funeral march in our physical condition. And we all need to live our life each day or daily awareness of our physical death, because we know that it's coming one day, and it's coming quicker than a lot of us thinks it's going to come. It's just inedible, though, that we are going to go through the doors of death if Jesus Christ don't come back. I know this is not a subject we like to talk about, but it's a subject that we need to talk about. We need to understand what Christ has done for us. I know that all of us have a little fear. I'm not fear of death itself. I'm fear of the act of death. I'm not fear of the consequences of death, because I know that my real me is never going to die. This old body is going to be separated from the soul and the spirit, but the real me that you can't see tonight, it's alive forevermore, and that's the real me and the real you. But death is also impartial. You know that old is going to die. We must die, but young may die. That's what catches people, you know, by surprise. You know, young people, they may die. We don't never know. This young boy, we know this young boy, he died. This occasion of the physical death is sometimes you find people with just a pile of bones and a pile of pain, and they might welcome death. And a lot of people, they might be praying for death right now. You know, if they're in enough of pain and agony and sorrow, they might be a friend of death, but not in the life of a young person. Not in the life of a young person with all the hopes and all the dreams ahead of them. Death is just an intrusion. But we see in these verses of Scripture that death was interrupted all the plans and all the hopes and all the dreams, even of the young people, to understand what death's all about. And you remember the first death in this world was the first death was not by the Father or not of the Father, but the first death was a son, an Adam and Eve. So we know the first grave was not dug by a young person, but by an older person, the Father. As Adam and Eve probably dug that grave. And we see in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 it says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death was passed on to all men, for that all have sinned. So we all know what it's talking about. All of us, all the saved, you know, we all of us in this funeral procession this night. Spiritually, we come alive in Christ Jesus. But the New Testament, a lot of time, don't really talk about our death a whole lot for our physical death. A lot of time it's talking about our spiritual death. Many verses of Scripture talk about spiritual death in the Bible. And that's the most important about our spiritual death. It's not this physical death is that important, but it's physical death. Three or four verses of Scripture I read in verse John chapter 10:10. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they may have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And Jesus Christ was talking to a group of people like you tonight, that their hearts were still beating and they were still breathing air when he said that I come that you may have life and more abundantly. A people that was already alive physically, but he was talking to them now that was maybe dead spiritually. And Ephesians 2:1 says, and you have he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespassing and sin. In 1 Timothy 5:6, he says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Talking about the pleasure on a collision course of materialism in this world that we're living in. There's a lot of collision courses we on today. And people that can't get enough material things today, constantly devoting themselves to everything they can get in this world, dollars and toys and everything they can get in this life. Life is kind of like a passing ship. It passes before our eyes before we even know it today. It's kind of like a honeybee. I got to thinking about the sweetness of the material things that the devil offers us in this world, the material things. Everybody, we need material things. And now sometimes the people work themselves to the bone trying to get material things. They think if they just get some more material things, they'll be happy and they'll be things will be sweeter. It's kind of like a honeybee. Sometimes, you ever seen a honeybee? You got a lot of honey and they have some in a jar or whatever, a bucket or whatever, and the honeybees are drawn to that own honey. But you see, they draw to that honey, but they drowned in their own sweetness. And that's a lot of what happens to people. They drown in the sweetness of their own materialism. They try to gather up today, kind of like a honeybee. Collision course with all type of addicts today, alcohol and drugs and all kind of things today, just drowning in it. Possession of misery, it said there in verse 12 again, as we read that. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Now we find out that this was her only son. Not only that, it says that she was a widow. Only a son, had one child, and then it says that she was a widow. Now, trouble on top of trouble. You know, there's a lot of people that have seemed like trouble on top of trouble on top of trouble. Well, here's a lady here, and I know that you have that same problem, a lot of us here tonight. And trouble comes, and it seems like it just doubles, and trouble on top of trouble. She's already made a trip to the graveyard already with her husband because it said she was a widow. She's already been through this before. And there it is now, here's her son. Now this death of her son maybe tore open the wounds, you know, of that grief she's already had with her husband. Now her son's dead. All of her hope she had in her old age that she'd have someone to take care of her and all the hopes and concerns she had for a child. And then here he is, he's dead. Trouble on top of troubles. Sometimes people say, I wonder if the Lord really cares. Look at the trouble we're in. Now, but he's dead. How cruel it seemed like that life is to us sometimes, this possession of misery that this lady was in. Just think about it for just a little while. And how this possession of misery just kind of lashes out. And now she's lost the last link now with her family. It's been broken now, the last link. She has no more family. She's a widow, her only a son, and she don't have any more link now to her family. Think about the tears now of this lady as she began to march on this funeral procession. As she begins to go out to the city of this funeral procession, the procession of misery, you see the picture changes a little bit. There comes a possession there of a majesty and mastery. This is your life and this is your testimony. The providence of God, just as this funeral procession was going out the city, just in time, there was another possession coming into the city. And guess they met up right at the same time. They crossed. You know, Jesus is always on time when you need him. How could it be just at that same time that he was going into the city with a group of people, a possession of people, they was coming out of the city at the same time. But Jesus is always on time. Don't you care? Don't you care, Jesus? Yes, he cares. And then the compassion there he expresses here when he sees her mourning. His heart was extended to the woman. In verse 13, it says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Weep not. As you think about that, Jesus sees and, you know, he extends to her the great blessings. He knows what she's experiencing. You know, we all have problems, don't we? And just think about this. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday when this funeral is going on. He's the same today when you need him. And he'll be the same tomorrow when the next generation needs him if he don't come back. He's the same every day. He was there right on time. Right when you think you couldn't stand it any longer. Right when things was doubling, it was getting harder all the time. Right when problems after problem after problems, and there he is, Jesus Christ is right on time. He's right there. Right at the gates of that funeral procession was coming out. You see, where is Jesus Christ? And well, the Bible says he's the right hand of God, but he's not just sitting down on a throne. He's there with his authority, but he's on the road of life right now, and he's marching to your needs. You know, we just express a lot of the names we call out in a prayer box and our unspoken requests and the needs we have. Well, Jesus Christ not sitting down at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is on his authority. But really what he's doing, he's on the road of life. He's marching right here to your needs. And just at the right time, whenever you think you can't stand anymore, just at the right time that Jesus Christ going to cross right where you need him at. And he'd be right there when the time of our needs. He's right at the gates of our needs right now. And Jesus Christ says, now don't weep. Talking to this lady, don't weep. Because, you see, Jesus Christ is a master of all of our tears. You ever had a tear? You ever done any crying? You know, Revelation promises, and the great promise of Revelation, it says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All tears. Why did he say that? That he'll wipe away all tears? Because he knows he's going to do something about the things that cause the tears in this life. He's going to do something about all the tears. Something that caused the tears in your life. You know, there may be some tears ahead of you. There may be some tears behind you. But you see, Jesus is going to do something about those tears. And he's going to do something about the tears of this woman because he said, weep not. You know, that same blessing goes out to all of us when he says for us to weep not, because he said, I'm going to do something about your tears. He done something about this lady's tears in Revelation. He says, well, all of our tears. He says, all of our tears. You see, he extended his heart to this woman, but then he extended his hand to this boy. He had compassion with his heart for this woman. He extended his heart, and he extended his heart out to you, but also he extends his hand to us also, as he extended his hand to this boy at this time. In verse 14, he said, and he came and he touched the bier of the casket, and they that bore him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Jesus stopped the funeral march. Jesus stopped the funeral march, and when Jesus came, you see, Jesus stopped a lot of funeral marches. Sin entered the Garden of Eden, and death march began right outside of the Garden of Eden. And you know what? It's been moving uncontrollable and unstoppable, this funeral march, from the time of Adam and Eve out outside that garden. This world has become a great, vast graveyard from the early beginning of mankind on this earth. And it's been unstoppable, unabatable. One death after another death, and the Bible says, and he begot sons and daughters, and he died. They begot sons and daughters, and they died in generation after generations. But Jesus Christ abolished death. You say, well, people still die. Yes, people still die, but on the cross of Calvary one day that Jesus Christ is going to stop all death. There'll be no more deaths. You know what the Bible says in Revelation? There'll be no more deaths. Yes, people still die today. We die the old physical death, but one day there won't be no more physical death. Jesus Christ said, this young man, I say unto thee, arise. You see, there's three times in the New Testament we find out in Scriptures that Jesus Christ brought somebody back to life. Young girl, I believe she was 12 years old, and it was Naaman's daughter, I believe it was, I don't remember. Then I remember Lazarus, he said, come forth, he'd been dead for 4 days. And then we find this boy here in the verse of Scriptures. You know, you find all three of these, that these people's already dead, and Jesus Christ is talking to the dead as if they could hear him. You know what? They could. They was dead, but they could hear Jesus Christ. Because, see, his word is law in the land of the dead and also the law of the land of the living. He has a law, but it reaches far beyond this world that you and I are living in. His word goes on through this world. It goes on through life and goes on through death. They hear him, the voice of Jesus Christ. You know, really, nothing can stay dead around Jesus Christ in his presence. Nothing can stay dead in his presence. As Jesus Christ comes on the scene, I'm telling you, there's life. There's life. Nothing can stay dead around Jesus Christ. All he does is speak the words, and there was life. As Jesus Christ spoke to you, you see, there was a collision course that you was on. And thank the Lord that I heard his voice. Was you dead? Yes, it said, the Bible said we was dead. And those singing voice that Jesus Christ spoke to this young man and brought him to life physically, these same words were spoke to me and spoke to you, and he brought us life spiritually. We was dead. And I heard the voice of my Savior. Not audible voice, but I heard it through the Scriptures. I heard it through the Spirit that I was dead. And whosoever shall come to me. And I heard my Savior calling me. See, this is a testimony in these verses of Scriptures. You need to read it and search it out, what Christ done for you. When somebody asked you to give your testimony, you can tell them that you was in a funeral position, and Jesus Christ stopped that funeral position, and he spoke to you, and he spoke the words of life, and you received the life word through the Word of God. And we see that, you know, the possession of misery and this possession here of mastery, but also this possession of victory in Christ Jesus. In verse 15 it said, I've already read, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. He's alive. As Jesus Christ was celebrated Easter last Sunday, he's alive. This young man, as Jesus Christ spoke to him, a possession now of victory. And you see, me and you, we own a possession of victory also. Because, as I said, we don't ever have to worry about dying spiritually anymore. We'll live forevermore. I'm alive. I'm more alive. And whenever I pass out of this physical body, and when I pass on this old death physically, I'll be more alive than I am right now. I'll be more conscious of life than I am right now, and you will too. He's alive. He's alive. This man set up, and Jesus Christ called his name. I could probably hear his mother saying, now, go tell the grave diggers to stop digging. Go tell them to fill up the hole today. And I can see now, this old prodigal son, the father was waiting for him to come home, and he said, this, my son was dead, and he's alive forevermore. I wonder if that woman said the same thing. My son's alive, spiritually and physically. Nothing can stay dead around Jesus Christ. We celebrated the Lord's death this past week. You know, the scripture said that Jesus Christ died before the two thieves on the cross died. You know why? Because nothing can stay dead around Jesus Christ. He had to die first. They couldn't die in his presence. I mean, he couldn't, as long as he was alive, he died. He died first. Then they broke the legs of those other two men, and they went on to their death. Nothing can stay dead around Jesus Christ. You know, that's what's our church. A lot of times I hear people say that church is dead, but I'm going to tell you what, a church where Jesus Christ meets you here at church, a church can't stay dead. And not only that, I'm going to tell you that a lot of family today is dead in trespass and sin, but I tell you, if they invite Jesus into their family, they'll have a family that's alive. But not only that, there's a lot of people that's dead today in trespass and sin. And if they'll meet Jesus on this funeral procession, they'll be alive forevermore also. You know, my job and your job is to tell people about this, and our job is to make Jesus Christ known as we come to church and make people where they'll want to come. A lot of people say, I don't have to go to church. You don't have to, but the thing about it is you ought to want to. You ought to want to come to church. And that's our job, to try to get people where they want to be at church. And families is lost. And they're living in so much misery in the days that we have around us today. And they misery. Why? They won't invite Jesus Christ in their family. They won't stay in the death and the darkness of sin. And a lot of people today, I'm telling you, we just need Jesus Christ. The boy, he said he delivered the boy to his mother. They had a happy reunion. They had a happy reunion. You see, there's a lot of mothers and fathers and also grandparents this day. Well, their sons and their daughters, I'm telling you what, is out in the deadness of sin. There's so much of it out in the deadness of sin. Living in condition that are living in. You know, Jesus Christ makes dead people alive. Physically and also spiritually. In John chapter 5, 28 and 29, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is come in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. You see, they're going to hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Oh, everybody's going to hear Jesus' voice one day. That old grave's going to open up, and everybody's going to hear his voice. All's in the grave, the resurrection, the saved and the unsaved. Tonight, you know, I pray that we all save, but you know, you and your family tonight, there's some of your family members, you ought to be concerned about, because you'll be asking the question. Oh, they may be church members, they might be members here, they may be members somewhere else, but tonight, which funeral possession are they in? Because they're in a possession of some way. A funeral possession, are they in the majesty? Tonight, you see their possession, it leads to the misery. They may be in that possession. Or their possession, it leads to glory. Which possession are you in, and which possession is your family in? Because they're in one another. They in this possession, it's moving towards misery and death and destruction. If they will not accept Jesus Christ and won't live for the Lord, there's misery ahead of them. But then you see that possession there, it's going to lead to glory. You're going to lead to glory. Which possession are you and your family in tonight? All your loved ones, your grandkids, great-grandkids, whatever it might be. I think it's time that we ought to be praying for our families. You know, there's only one way, and that's the way of Jesus Christ. This world is not the way. So this is my testimony tonight, as Jesus Christ showed me these verses of scriptures, that he stopped my funeral. So that's what I thank him for, is for salvation, because he stopped the funeral. I was in that position of death, and he spoke to me. You know, you need to share your testimony with somebody. Some of your family members is not coming. Some of your family members are not serving and worshiping Jesus. Some of them may be lost. Loved ones, family, and neighbors. That testimony is true tonight. We thank you tonight for being here. Thank you for wanting to come. Thank you for bringing a blessing with you. I hope you carry home a blessing tonight. It will stand and be dismissed at this time.